Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 4a, with selected passages. When God began to create the heavens and earth, the earth was complete chaos. A darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and it was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let there be them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let there be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God saw it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all the fishes of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And it was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. On the sixth day, God finished the work he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and earth when they were created. So ends this Old Testament reading. Thanks be to God.
Well, the gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. When lectionary texts are put together, the people that do it try to find the combination of something from the Old Testament that matches something from the New, as well as the Psalm and an epistle lesson. See if you can, after Ware read that beautiful reading from Genesis, I wish we didn't have to cut it, but he would still be reading if we kept everything in. But please, please go, feel free to go back and read the whole thing this afternoon, because it is such a marvelous reading. But I love the scripture from Genesis that reminds us of how God thought of absolutely everything that needed to be in our world. And I love this poetic way that it was put together. That helps us understand. So the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 28 is very different, but see if you can find the similarities. From the very end of the gospel of Matthew, hear the word of the Lord. Now I needed to preface this. This is after the crucifixion and the resurrection. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." What a great way to end the Gospel of Matthew. It reminds us of other things that end. Just recently, we came to the end of the school year. And I remember what that was like as a teacher. I remember how excited and how we counted down. Some of us started counting as soon as Christmas break was over. True? All you teachers? But then, the closer it got, and the more real it became, the harder it was. Now, probably not for the kids, but for the teachers. These were our kids. For all of those days, 87, we had poured our lives into helping them understand things like nouns and verbs and division of fractions and things like that. And they had shared with us sometimes things so personal and intimate. And now they're going on. I've truly loved all of my friends on Facebook who are teachers, and especially elementary school teachers who will pose with kids who are graduating from the local high school, and they will say, "I had these kids when they were in first grade, and look." There's something about endings. We want them so quickly and so badly, and then they come. Well, and then what do? This doesn't have anything to do with the scripture, but I remember one year I had this incredibly, incredibly active class. Hear the word active as frustratingly, mind-numbingly. It was filled with boys, and they were in the sixth grade getting ready to go to the junior high, discovering girls and all that goes with it. And many of them, pretty much, my mom used to use the phrase, "You didn't grow up in a barn." I'm sure these kids did. And at the end of the year, I was trying so hard to figure out, how are we going to end this year that I just don't say, "Get out," and never come back. And so at that time, this was many, many years ago when you could actually do this and get away with it. I think it was The Little Mermaid on tape. And I said, "I'm just putting that in. And I know it's way below them." And none of them had seen it. They kind of hit that gap that they were too old to see Disney cartoon movies. And I'm working in the back, and I'm noticing that the class is getting quieter and quieter. And all of these big, tough, sixth grade boys were just like glued. And there came that one scene, because if you've seen the movie, you know that there's always kind of this mixture of, oh, will he kiss her? Will he not? Will he kiss her? And finally, one of the boys turned back to me and said, "Miss Helm, is he ever going to kiss her?" The year was a success. No matter what had happened through the year, this young man who made me pray the most every night was pulled into a Disney cartoon movie that he promised he would never, ever, ever watch, and he might cut me if I made him. And he got pulled in. It's the beginnings and the endings. It's sometimes moving in and then having to move out and to change communities. It's those pieces of books we love, of movies we love, that make us go back over and over and over again. And that's what's happening with the disciples. This is like the long goodbye. They watched Jesus be crucified, and they were crestfallen. They watched the resurrection, and then they were hopeful, and then he was gone. And now we have what sometimes is called the Great Commission, and here we are. This little piece reminds us that this was an incredible mixture of both faith and doubt. Did you catch it? And it's in verse 17. When they, the disciples, saw him, they worshiped him. Oh, but some doubted. There were only the 11 there. That's it. These were the people that Jesus was closest to, the people that Jesus had been teaching, the people that had lived with him and worked with him, laughed with him and cried with him, and yet some doubted, even now. There's that bit of doubt. But that describes our lives, doesn't it? Because I don't know about you, but my life is filled with failure and doubt. Maybe some of you as well. And there are some pieces that I cannot get beyond. There are some pieces that are so frustrating that, just like my young man in that class, I want to say, will this ever work? And God knows, because God created us. Maybe God created us with that little reminder of doubt to keep us on our toes, to keep us fresh, to keep us questioning, to keep us curious. Because if not, I don't know how you operate, but I know how I operate. I'm incredibly lazy. And if I have just everything is going really well, I become very complacent. And I don't want to do what probably I should be doing. God created us with that doubt for a reason. And so we erase it. Now, if we always live in doubt, then we're in trouble. But it's just like all of creation. If we always lived with lemon ice cream, it would be disastrous. But sometimes I need some lemon ice cream after a hearty dinner of vegetables. I love lemon. God created us to be people who worship, and people who worship God, and people who seek to do God's will, and yet we also have uncertainty. Do you know that? Do you know that uncertainty? Those thoughts that creep into our minds, kind of the what ifs. What if I'm not good enough? What if I can't do it? What if I can't complete that project that I started that I promised I would do? Maybe it's just me, but I think that is part of it. There are days when I think, why can't I get my act together? Absolutely nobody is listening to what I'm saying. Again, throwback to sixth grade voice. And what if people ask me questions that I don't know the answers? There's that doubt that creeps in and that uncertainty. And yet God says we can't live there. We have to balance it with worship. Because worship, however, whether it's corporate worship, which is my favorite, whether it's worship as I'm driving through incredible scenes that God has provided for us, whether it is those times that I'm quiet and reading scripture and just listening for God to speak, or when it's times that I'm with incredible friends and family, and I'm reminded of the great love of God. We need both. We need worship, and we need uncertainty. We need devotion, and we need doubt. Because if you notice, in verse 17, when they saw Jesus and they worshiped him, but some doubted, did you see what happened, what Jesus said? And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. There's nothing in my Bible There's nothing that I've ever found that says, well, they left out the part when Jesus says, what's wrong with you guys? Can't you get it together? I told you this for 3 years. I told you what was going to happen, and then it did, and now you doubt? There's nothing in here that says that Jesus was disappointed that some of the disciples doubted. Oh, I want us to hear that as good news. Because if we have been created to worship and then be uncertain, to have devotion and then to doubt, then God has put that in us for a reason. We need the balance. We need both. The problem is when I live totally in that uncertain world or in that world of doubt, that becomes the problem. It's why it's so wonderful that at least once a week we can gather together and sing the praises of God. It's so wonderful that I have friends throughout, well, Indiana and a little bit beyond, who believe in the love of God that I can meet with and I can talk to. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. That's what discipleship is. It doesn't mean that you have it all together. It doesn't mean that you know all the answers and you can help somebody read a passage and figure out exactly what it means. It means that we live in both worlds because that's how we were created by God, to worship and to doubt. And then we have that beautiful passage in verse 18. I have to confess, until it was pointed out to me in all of the research when I study this passage, I miss it completely. Verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. When you study that passage, the scholars will tell you this is the passage of the alls, A-L-L-S, alls. It's in there four times. Two times just as all, one time as in everything, which is all, and then again, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's a reminder that this is the good news. Jesus has all authority. We are to make disciples of all the nations. We are to obey everything. Our actions and beliefs reflect that. Our actions and beliefs reflect that. In other words, we don't just give lip service to our faith. It's not just this, it's everything. And then Jesus says at the end, I am with you always to the end of the age. There is nowhere we can go that Jesus isn't watching us. There is nothing that we can do that Jesus isn't reminding us, you are so loved. You are so worthy. You are so needed in this world. I can't love you anymore. I love this. And this passage leads us right in to communion. You see, the entire message of Matthew is, the entire book of Matthew points constantly the fact that we are both. We doubt and we have devotion. And then it ends with this reminder. It's that section of the all. We have all authority to baptize and disciple all the nations, the entire world. That everything God has commanded, and that He is with us to the end of the age.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.